Good morning. I want to thank Maverick for reading that passage for me. It's not going to be the text that we use today, but I really enjoyed how it talks about how we are adopted into the family of God. And down there in verses 16 and 17, it's a prayer that with the Spirit's help that we will gain wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, and our eyes will be enlightened with understanding. I think it's a great passage for the church to think about and to meditate on as we grow and as we encourage others to grow. I'm going to start out with a little motivational short story here. Life is a race, and some of you may have heard this before. In this version, the story revolves around a young athletic boy who was hungry for success and measured his success only in winning. He participated in running competition and won two races. Feeling proud and important, he then pleaded for another race and was presented with two challengers, an elderly, frail old lady and a blind man. As the race began, the boy noticed that the elderly lady and the blind man were struggling to run. Instead of rushing ahead, he slowed down, ran alongside them, encouraging them to keep going. Together, they reached the finish line, and the boy realized that the true victory was helping others and enjoying the journey rather than just winning. The story is often used as a metaphor for the importance of slowing down, helping others, and savoring life's moments. It emphasizes that life is not just about winning races and achieving goals, but about enjoying the journey and being kind to others. It's a very good lesson for each one of us to understand, and I think it's easy for us to put ourselves in those places throughout our lives. You know, now I'm not old and frail just yet, but I'm getting closer. But I was that young man who was in a hurry to get everything done, and sometimes I didn't understand why maybe Grandpa was slow from getting to point A to point B. And it did me a lot of good to slow down and realize that he was methodical in how he did things. He always made sure to do things right. And I rushed into things often and thought, well, I can just fix it because I got another chance to do it because I did it so fast the first time. It's better to do it right the first time. 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not obtain perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not to with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body to bring it into subjection, lest when I preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It's important for us to make sure that we're on the right track. We're running the race in the way that we're supposed to run it. And there's always a course that needs to be taken, and we need to make sure that we're on the right course. Now, I know that in this group of people, there are many people who have been coaches, teachers, trainers, and have learned to help people develop their skills. As parents, it's something else that we learn, is how we develop the skills in each one of our children. Well, we're in the middle of track season right now, which I never was educated in developing people, but I am one of the discus coaches. I have been more active this year because a lot of the other coaches couldn't be there as often as they'd like. So I've had to learn a lot more about technique, form, and encouraging others to develop themselves. It has been wonderful for me to see them grow and strive to do their best. The first few practices are very crazy, trying to get everyone through and help them figure out what their talents are. But as the season progresses, people kind of settle into their zones, and we have really been focusing on growth. Well, all this leads up to my topic for today, encouraging the brethren, new and old. This is for new believers, and it's also for us who may have been believers for years and maybe have just become complacent or just Maybe we feel like we're tired and the responsibility could go to someone else. It's just to be encouraging to each of us. So the day of Pentecost, following Jesus' resurrection, also was the birthday of the church. There was 3,000 people baptized after hearing the first gospel sermon preached by Peter and the other apostles. I am sure both an exciting and challenging time for the church. Imagine 3,000 people in a new convert class. So if we had 3,000 people who were new believers, and we were trying to discuss with them, it's kind of like that first track practice. You're trying to help each one of them understand what their talents might be, encouraging them to study the Word and to learn the proper form and technique. Shortly after Pentecost, the gospel continued to spread, and the number of disciples was more than 5,000. It should always be our desire that the gospel should spread freely and that more individuals and families come to know Jesus. Along with our desire for the gospel to go further and for God to give us increase, should come a sobering reminder of what the church's responsibility is to new believers. The Bible speaks of some things that new converts must desire for themselves. New Christians should desire to grow in the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Christians should be attending church so that they can grow and be encouraged. As I've said many times, I believe, and I think a lot of us believe, that this building, this group of believers, we come together to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, more so than an outreach. I believe that our personal lives should be our outreach. All right, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 said, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. However, those of us who have been Christians for some time consider what the responsibilities are of those who are new to the faith. So, while it is right to rejoice when the baptism takes place, it's also necessary to start planning and consider how we can help encourage and strengthen people as they begin their new walk with the Lord. Let us consider a few things. The first thing we should consider is a loving family. The church is the household of God. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, but if I am delayed, I write to you how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and ground of the truth. We are a family of Christ. We are the family in Christ, and we should operate like the most loving family in the world. When someone rises up from the waters of baptism, God does not send them out on their own. God adds those who are being saved to the body of Christ. So when someone obeys the gospel, they are joined with the body of Christ. Because it's going to take encouragement, it's going to take strengthening, it's going to take an effort on everyone's part to help them on their walk. Those of us who are already members of the body must warmly receive them. The world will know that we are disciples of Jesus by the love that we have for each other. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. When a new Christian obeys the gospel in Jerusalem, they immediately encountered Christ-like love through the apostles and through the other believers. Many in Jerusalem sold their property and shared their goods so that they could have what they needed. When you read this in Acts. This was not a one-time occurrence. It took place whenever it was necessary. This had a positive impact on the new believers. And like Paul mentioned in after the table there, we take up a collection so that we can help people. And it's been encouraging. I have received help over the years. And when things have gone wrong, maybe a vehicle broke down or something like that. That is why we take up a collection for the saints, to be able to help them when the need is there. And I'm not saying it's all about how they did it in the first or in the early church about selling your possessions and giving them away. The point is we take up a collection as we are instructed to so that we can help if the need arises. But our heart needs to be in it. Like Paul said, we need to make sure that our hearts are there and we give back joyfully, because everything that we have is a gift from God. And we may feel like we work really hard to get all the things that we have. And some of us do work really hard to get what we have, but God gave us that ability. God gave us that job. God allows us to have those blessings. We need to keep it in perspective. It is not enough to teach people the right doctrine and then fail to live it out in the right way. New converts should never be into a congregation where fighting and bickering are the normal. I've heard of churches where there's a lot of fighting and disagreeing going on, and that's not a healthy congregation. We should be able to interact. As we've gone through our study, we saw that there's been a couple times where the apostles didn't agree with each other, but they were able to work it out and go on and finish sharing the gospel to others. We will not be perfect, but we should grow in Christian maturity so that we are not setting a bad example for those who are new to Christ. New converts should enter a congregation that welcomes them, loves them, and assists them in the possible ways that they can grow closer to Him. It should be normal for Christians to show love to one another. Some people who become Christians did not grow up in a family where their members of the physical family loved each other, took care of each other, had each other's best interests at heart. I was very blessed to grow up in a family where I knew that my parents and my grandparents all cared about me and desired the best things for me, or the things I needed, maybe not always the things I thought I needed, but what I needed. I grew up in a family where I knew that I was loved. And there are people out there today who don't have that blessing, don't have that experience. And that's why part of being the family of God, being in this family, is so important that we show that love. All right. They may have never been encouraged and appreciated and told that they are loved and encouraged. Going back to track, when you see someone who's entering the last 100 yards of a race and you're yelling for them, we do that a lot, what do you yell? Do you yell, go faster, try harder? No, you're encouraging. You tell them that they're doing good, to finish strong, to stay steadfast to the end. These are things that you encourage them with at the end. You're not saying, oh, I saw you mess up there. You stutter-stepped and stumbled. Those things we might talk about at practice. But when you see them going through life and they're facing trials, you don't point out everything that's going wrong right then. You try to be encouraging and help them along their way. All right. We are to show them the family of God, always how the family as God always intended it to be. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So if they didn't have that in their normal lives or in their maternal, paternal lives, we need to be showing that example in the church. The second thing is patience. No sensible parent gets angry with a newborn baby who spits up on them. Parents recognize that the newborn babies will make mistakes and do things wrong on occasion or frequently. In fact, it will probably take a long time before our children are able to make good decisions and overcome clumsy mistakes. And this as important job as parents that we do. We encourage them on their day-to-day lives when they make mistakes, how to face the consequences of those mistakes and move forward, move past that. When congregations encourage new believers, we should keep in mind that they are young in Christ, that they may not understand everything that we understand from the Word. And in those situations, we do it just like our children. We come alongside them and we talk to them about things as that we understand from the Scripture, and we take them to that. We don't just say that, hey, this is the way it should be. We take them to God's Word, because that's where our instruction comes from, as it was pointed out this morning. This does not mean that we don't challenge them to grow. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't, but it does mean that we should be patient with them. The fruit of the Spirit involves patience, and new Christians need us to exercise patience towards them. And sometimes I think us old Christians or older Christians need the same thing. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we get our priorities out of control. And it's important that we show patience to the family of God. Even those of us who have been Christians for a few years recognize that we still make mistakes. We still stumble. How much more do we think that can be when you have a new believer? I know this is, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about my children. When they become baptized believers, when they have obeyed the gospel, I think that is a hard thing as a parent, because not only do I want them to do the right thing because I'm their parent, but now I'm holding another standard. They've obeyed the gospel, so I a lot of times the conversation goes a lot like this. Do you think that is something that you should be doing as a baptized believer? Do you think this is something that you should be doing if you're wearing the name of a Christian? You need to be doing this to please God, not to please me. So I think as we interact with new believers who are in our family, sometimes it becomes more complicated on our hearts than just dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. All right. Be slow to pronounce on them and rebuke them of their maybe wrong terminology or misunderstanding of the Word. I know I've shared before, but when I first obeyed the gospel and I was learning to talk and preach and things with in Memphis, Missouri, where I first started going to Church of Christ, Tom Woody was our evangelist, and there was times when I would say something that wasn't quite right, or my understanding of the Scripture wasn't right, and I seen it with my children as well. If they would say something or do something, he had this marvelous way about him to correct without making somebody feel horrible about the mistake that they had made. He was a very encouraging man, and someday, when I'm older, maybe I'll be that same guy. But it's important for us to take that attitude when we're dealing with people who are maybe fresh to the challenge at hand, who don't have a complete understanding of God's Word and need to study more. It's good for us to encourage that and come alongside them and do that. All right. Remember to give them room to grow. It's important for us to remember. It took me a long time to grow, and I've got a long ways to go yet. But it's important that we take the time ourselves. It's our responsibility to study God's Word and to grow in it. And it's good for our brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside of us, encourage us along that way. But we can't think, just like you have a baby, you can't think that they're going to know everything right off the bat. Same way with someone new to the faith. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. Now, I've told you before, this is one of my favorite passages. But also for this reason, give all diligence, and to your faith, virtue, your virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if these things are yours, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, we do not approve of error or fail to correct it, but it is important that we just need to be gentle and patient as we deal with it. I know most of the books out there that help us to be good, better parents, which I haven't read a lot of, but most of those books out there encourage us not to discipline in anger, not to come down too harshly on our children. And it's important that we think about that. As I've raised or am raising my children, I've noticed that they respond better in certain ways. Some children need that really firm hand, and some children need a more encouraging, they might need a hug and an encouraging word more than the firm hand. All right. Jesus spent 3 years training his apostles and still recognized that there was some things that they would take a little while longer to get a grasp on. And I know we've talked about, as we read and study God's word, we think about, why didn't they know that? But they didn't have the full story then. We can read the Bible and we get a picture of the full story. And we like to think that we would do better, but I have a feeling that each one of us in that same position walking alongside Christ would have been just as misunderstanding as they were. We need to be patient with those who are learning the truth and crucifying for themselves the bad habits that were in their lives and the struggles that they had. If we want God to be patient with us, then we need to be patient with others. All right. The third thing is, do not be a stumbling block. This is a gut checker here, because just as we talk about our children, that more is caught than taught, the same thing goes on in the church for those who are in the pews across from us. They watch us, they listen to us, and they pick up on things, and it's important that we're not trying to just act like good Christians, that we actually are trying to live a Christian lifestyle. Jesus had harsh words to those who would cause little ones to stumble. Matthew 18:6 says, "But whoever causes one of these ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and he be drowned in the depth of the sea." We must give careful attention to not become a stumbling block for those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, but especially to those who are just beginning the walk. Our behavior should not encourage them to sin or live unrighteous lives, but instead to grow and to an image of Christ. And hopefully they see that in us. Hopefully they don't hear us talking or gossiping around other believers or other Christians. Hopefully they hear us being encouraging and strengthening of the brothers and sisters. It's important that we make an effort to come to church and to be strengthened and to be encouraged and follow along and study our word, God's word. We should all ask ourselves, if my brothers and sisters in Christ were following me around as I walk from day to day, would I be bringing them closer to God, or will I be bringing them further away? And for me, that's a challenge. That can be a challenge sometimes, as I interact with people at work who sometimes bring out the worst in me or can make me very angry. What would people see if they were standing there next to me? And I think of that as we raise our children. There was a song came out years and years ago, Keep It Between the Lines. I can't remember who sang it, and I know it's a country song. I don't listen to much country anymore. But one of the things, or it's called I've Been Watching You, is the name of the song. And this little boy says a curse word. He said, "Where do you learn to talk like that?" He said, "I've been watching you." And as the song goes on, he talks about how he's becoming a better father and a better man because he understands that he's being watched. And we're always being watched. So we need to keep that in mind as well. All right, and the last thing is a chance to grow and participate. The old adage of, if I want something done right, I must do it myself. Jesus never said that anywhere in the scripture. There is room for everybody in the body of Christ. Everyone has their own talents, their own gifts, and everyone can bring glory to God through those talents. The church owes it to new Christians to give them an opportunity to grow in their faith through Bible classes, through personal studies, through fellowship, so that they can learn to grow and flourish. We do not want them to remain babes in the faith. We talked about this as we've gone through Hebrews. It was very descriptive about how they need to move on and to grow into the more meatier things of life. However, we must not just stick them in the classroom and lecture them. New Christians should be encouraged to volunteer, get involved, and use their talents for God's glory. The sooner that people get involved, the more they have a vested interest in their growth and the growth of the body. All right, so new converts, like seasoned Christians, must have work to accomplish their faith. You know, we read in James chapter 2 that faith without works is dead. And we know, or I know from my personal life, that doing the work of God, studying God's word, that helps me grow. If I just sit back and listen, I don't grow near as much. It is great to see people obey the gospel and become Christians. It's always hard to see a Christian walk away from their faith and leave the church. New converts have a personal responsibility concerning their faithfulness to God. Romans 14:12 says, "So then each of us shall give an account for himself to God." Likewise, the local church has a responsibility to them. May we all do our part to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 33. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all things to God, the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." On our track team, I think we do a great job of encouraging the growth and the helping the youth reach their possibilities, their potential. But it's oftentimes not about winning the race as we encourage them. It's about personal growth. It's about personal best. You know, every time one of our athletes gets a new personal record, that is a reason to celebrate. It helps them grow, and it also helps the team be stronger as a whole. We need to do the same thing in our relationship with other believers. Every soul has value, and everyone adds and strengthens the family of God. So as we encounter, be it our children or be it others, that make the choice to obey the gospel, we need to be cheerleaders. We need to be coaches. We need to be friends. We need to help them develop their personalities, develop their talents, and put them to use. And I think that is important in every aspect of our lives. I know this. I've trained people at work. If you just give them a job to do and don't explain to them how to do it, it ends badly. And a lot of times there's paperwork and a mess that has to be cleaned up. If we just give someone the Bible and say, "Do what it says," that's all they need to know is what's in the Bible, but sometimes we need help in understanding what it is teaching us. So if you have not obeyed the gospel, or if you have stumbled and you need to come forward as we have a song of invitation, we invite you to do that. I pray that we continue. And for the record, I believe this congregation does a good job of encouraging one another. And I feel like that we are welcoming to anyone who comes by. And I think that that is good for us. It shows that we are secure in our faith. And it shows that we care about the growth of God's church. But if you need something and this congregation can help you, we ask that you would come forward at this time as we have a song of invitation.